The reading today is Luke 9, verse 20. Luke 9, verse 20, Peter's confession of Christ. Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone, and he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Hopefully you can see a slide on the screen that has our title, Looking Backwards, Looking Forwards. Now, this is one of the somewhat unusual Sundays when I'm not constrained by what the teaching team has decided I should preach on, but it's called a pastor's choice. So you're getting what I've been thinking about recently. And I'm sure you'll be thrilled to know that my inspiration for today has been The Guardian and a book and film called The Night Manager. Hopefully we'll get some Bible in later on. I'm sure we probably will. But looking backwards, looking forwards, and first of all, The Guardian, and not so much The Guardian as the particular title, sorry, it's slightly out of focus, that came up about a year ago now. Coronavirus fears rise as first Briton tests positive. And that was the headline at the beginning of February 2020. And of course, reflecting back over this year that has gone by seemed to me to be quite appropriate, because it's been obviously, for all of us, I would guess, the strangest year we've ever lived. And if you think back to the end of March, when I preached then, and I preached on Psalm 91, and he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And at that time as a church, individually certainly, I think we were reeling. We'd lost three brothers to COVID and a sister who died through other disease at that time. We were just approaching Easter, but we had no idea what lay ahead. And probably if you think about it, by about May, June, we started to be very hopeful. And then, of course, we went through the year and came up to close to Christmas before going back into lockdown again and losing two more, a brother and a sister, to COVID since then. So it's been a difficult year to look back over, a difficult time. But I wondered if this was quite worthwhile to actually say to us all right now, take a moment to think about what has happened to you during this last year. How is it, do you feel, that you have progressed in your Christian faith? I honestly think I've prayed more this year than I had done in the previous years, partly because there isn't that much else you could do, but you can actually pray quite well over Zoom meetings and so on. But also, I think at a personal level, I think I have prayed more. I've also had a sense of drift, not a good thing, I would suggest, but a sense of what can you do as time comes and goes and you sometimes even lose out on working out what day of the week it is. I think, as John read to us earlier on, I wonder if you've had a sense of being held by the right hand of God when you faced fears or concerns. Have you sensed God's blessing? For some people I've talked to, they've said it's been wonderful to have time with my family. Or have you had a sense of great loneliness? One of the wonderful things that we know is that none of this caught out the Most High. The Lord Almighty was not surprised by this. He knew it was coming. Indeed, he knows each one of our days. I was talking with Rosemary Alcock earlier this week, and she quoted to me Psalm 139, verse 16. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Yes, God knows every one of our days, from the day we're born till the day we die, and we are in his hands. I want us just to spend a moment now looking back over the last year and just perhaps quietly saying to God your feelings, thoughts, and reactions about what it's been like. Look back and ask his Spirit to speak to you. But I want us to look back, for most of us, probably a bit further than just this last year as well. I put up this picture of the night manager. Now, we've all got different things that we enjoy. I was talking to Candy during the week, and she tells me she loves murder mystery. Well, for me, it's probably spy thrillers. So John le Carré is one of my favourite writers, and he wrote this book that got turned into a 6-part TV show, which I watched again recently. Now, spoiler alert coming up. Apologies for this if you haven't seen it. But in simple terms, the whole story is a man who goes undercover for several years to win the trust of a corrupt arms dealer and eventually to bring him down. But clearly, in the getting undercover and getting inside that arms dealer's organization, he's offered fabulous wealth and a spectacular lifestyle, but he stays faithful to what his job was. And when the final confrontation, as they always do in these sorts of stories, comes about, and the arms dealer says, "Why? You had everything. Why did you hand me in?" And the answer comes back, "You have to commit. You have to make a decision." And much earlier in his life, the man who has been working undercover had to commit to following the good path, to make a decision to do something, even though in this story it led into some very bad situations, because he'd made his decision to stand for good against what was bad. And I believe that's the message from this talk today, which is that we have to commit. We have to commit. Now, what does commit mean? Well, you've probably come across this story before. The pig and the chicken were walking past the farmhouse and looked in, and they saw the farmer eating his breakfast. And of course, as they looked at the breakfast in front of the farmer, they realized that the chicken is involved in the breakfast, but the pig is committed. The chicken is involved, it lays the eggs. Pig has to be chopped up to give us the bacon. And so commitment requires everything. Involvement can be a matter like a hobby or an interest, but commitment is about all of us being into something, put into it. So the next thing I want you to do is look back, as I said, a bit further over your personal faith journey, your walk with God through your life. I wonder, when you joined this church family at Fairfield, for most of you, that's more than a year, though it's delightful. We've had a few newcomers during this year as well. But for most of you, when you first came to Fairfield Church, what was it that you were drawn to? And how did you feel in terms of what you hoped God would do for you through being part of this church family? Or to go back even further, when you committed yourself to follow Jesus, sometimes that was perhaps a dramatic occasion. Sometimes, perhaps, if you're like me and you were brought up in a Christian family, it came over a period of time. But in my mid-late teenage, I remember a number of times when I had that sense I had to commit myself to follow Jesus completely. Think back to that time. What were your expectations? What did you promise to Jesus, to God, at that time? And I want you to think about how you are today, comparing it with that time. Perhaps you look back over your life. I was talking to some people of my age recently, realizing that if actually you grew up, you were born in the 50s and grew up in the 60s and 70s in this country, you had just about everything. We were the chosen generation. We got our education fully funded by the government. We had free and good health care. We had mostly a pretty good chance of full employment throughout our lives. We have, at this stage, still got something by way of a state pension. And we've had a lot. So of those who have had a lot, of them, a lot is required, is what God says. So look back over your walk with God, perhaps to when you first came to Fairfield, perhaps when you first committed yourself to Jesus. And I want you to say, have you grown in faith? Or has your faith stalled a bit? Or have you lost your way? Again, let's just take a bit of quiet and just be honest with God and say to him, Lord, I remember what it was like when I was 10 or 20 or 40 or whatever. This is what I thought. I remember what it was like when I first came to Fairfield and I have committed to you this. I remember what it was like when I first became a Christian and I said, all to Jesus, I surrender. How are you going on? How are you going on? Please take a moment again to think back and bear in mind and ask how you have continued in your faith. Now I want to go back even further. I want you to look back to what Jesus has done for you. In the reading we had from Luke 9, it said this, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected. He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Jesus has given himself for you. Jesus was committed for you and for me. He committed to come from heaven, to live on this earth, to die for us, to go to the cross, and then to be raised to new life. Look back at what he has done for you. We're coming to take communion in a moment. And just before we do, and as we reflect on how we are in his presence today, as well as looking back, perhaps you would just join me in saying together these words, perhaps to remember that we are sinners, to confess sins to him, but to know too that he promises forgiveness of sins to all who confess. Please say the words in bold along with me. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were helpless, Christ died for us. While we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of Jesus. Indeed, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. We now turn to the second part of the talk, slightly shorter than the first part, as we look forward. And the first thing that struck me is, as we look at these verses from Hebrews chapter 12, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This tells us that Jesus himself looked forward. As we looked last week, as Jack led us in the Mount of Transfiguration, that was the time when Jesus looked forward to see that he was going to the cross, because that was what he came to accomplish, to finish, as the song we just sang together told us. And it doesn't tell us that Jesus went into this in despair, but it tells us that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus himself needed to be able to see that long picture, that long distance where things were going, and he followed faithfully through with the commitment he had made to rescue mankind through dying on the cross for them. Let's look forward as Jesus did. But also, let's look forward, as it tells us in that passage. Let's look forward because he is our leader. It's interesting at this point that what he says is he uses the kind of follow twice. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Some of the versions more or less say, whoever wants to follow me must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. He kind of repeats that idea. And I think what he is bringing out so firmly is the difference between those who want to be involved and those who want to be committed. Whoever wants to be my disciple, in the time when Luke was writing that part of Jesus' life, there were lots of people following Jesus. John's gospel makes it even clearer how gradually people dropped away from following Jesus as what he said and the way he was going was more and more difficult for people. And this is the call, isn't it? Jesus is not a hobby. Being a Christian is not a leisure activity. It is everything. And whoever wants to be my disciple, there is things that we need to do to follow Jesus, to be properly committed to him. But the Hebrews verses 2 told us to follow our leader, to set our eyes, fix our eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer, the leader, the one who goes ahead, and to follow him. I don't know how much longer with SatNav this will go on, but if you've ever been in a car and you've agreed with someone else that you're going to follow them, you set off, they're driving and you're driving. And of course, it sounds easy, but especially in a city or a town, traffic lights, roundabouts, other traffic, all sorts of things happen. But what do? Well, of course, you remain alert to all that's going on around you, but you try to keep your eyes fixed on the car that you are trying to follow so that you know which way to go. And so we're called to fix our eyes on Jesus, have him as our focus, and to follow him carefully through life. And he tells us that if you don't just want to be involved, but you want to be committed, then Jesus has to come first, not yourself, not myself. Jesus first, and all our choices and desires on the back burner. This is really hard. And this is what Jesus calls to us to do. It affects our money, our careers, our families, our relationships, our sex lives, our leisure choices, our friendships. Jesus must come first, and we are not allowed, if we are truly committed to following him, to let other things get in the way. Jesus first, even over good things, the best must come in place of the good. Sometimes it might be that you say, oh, I'm really dedicated to running this activity in my church or to running the church. Jesus must come first, not running the church. It might be that you're campaigning for climate change action or debt relief or social justice. They're very good things that Jesus might call us to do. But Jesus must come first, not our causes. Jesus sets the agenda. I'm going to use a couple of quotes, and this one comes from C.T. Studd. He was a Victorian gentleman. He played cricket for England. He played in the first Ashes test there was. But he went on to be a missionary, first of all in China and then in Africa. Coming from the most affluent streams of society as it was at the time, he says this: if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Jesus sacrificed himself for us. He calls us to deny ourselves, to sacrifice things, choices we might want to make, so that we can follow him and obey him. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. And we're told to take up our cross. Taking up your cross means to be identified with Jesus. As in the days when this was written, anyone saw a man carrying a cross, they knew that man was condemned to die. And we're told that we are to die to self and live for Christ. In Galatians 2, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When Paul preached a couple of weeks ago, and he was preaching on the whole section of this, and a wonderful sermon, Power to Proclaim, he also had this quote from Jim Elliot. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Jesus calls us to give everything to him, but it's worthwhile. And Jim Elliot, of course, was a 20th century martyr who died as a missionary, taking the good news of Jesus to a remote tribal area in the Amazon. We are called to take up our cross, even potentially to dying for Jesus. Are we involved or are we committed? Jesus said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Finally, the daily. Are you looking forward to the coming year? Perhaps like me, you're hoping it's going to be a lot better than last year. And perhaps the vaccine program and even the coming of the summer suggests it might get better. But are we looking forward to it day by day with Jesus? Or are we just hanging on there? I think it struck me that one of the dangers as I did my looking back over the last year is let's not live always looking forward a few months, hoping it's going to get better. But let's live daily, taking up our cross and following Jesus so that each day counts for Jesus and in our lives. Let's not mark time waiting for normal to come back. Jesus calls us to commit, not just to be involved, but to commit. He said, I have come that we might have life and have life in all its fullness. That offer is to those who commit to follow him. We're going to close with a song we had, Lucy and I had 30 something years ago when we had our commissioning service as we went off to join OMF and work in Hong Kong. It's still a challenge for me to sing this now and to ask myself the question, looking back 30 years, can I say this? Is this something I could claim for myself? As I look forward too, I have to face up to the question that as far as I can read from this verse in front of us, it doesn't talk about Christians retiring. It talks about Christians taking up their cross daily. I may be moving on soon to something different, but I'm still called to be 100% committed to following Jesus. So here's this song we're going to sing, which has this line, I want to live my life for something that will last forever. Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. For the joy set before us, life in all its fullness now and in the future, we are called to take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. You've got to commit. Amen.